The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
I'm now joined by one of the best players of his generation, Kilkenny hurling legend, Paul Murphy. Paul, you are very welcome to the show.
How are you?
And you've brought a few fans along with you.
Ah, yeah. Well, this is my mum's part of the world, so I think they're being friendly to me down here now.
Let's start, I suppose, with that game last weekend, the AIB Leinster Club Intermediate Final. It was Daynesford versus Rattoath. You were 6 points down with 15 minutes to go, and you end up winning the game by 9 points. Mm. What drove that?
We dusted off Richie Hogan for the last few minutes. So, the conditions were very tough on the day. In the first half, Rattoath were really on top. It was just one of those days. There was gale force breeze going down, and you don't ever say that a wind wins or loses a match. But, you know, in the second half, it took us a while to get a bit of traction. But kind of once we got that traction, I think the last 15 minutes, it was 2-9 to 1 point is what we scored. So we just, once our forwards got going, we just got a bit of momentum. So it was mighty. It was really good.
And it was really extra special for you because the cup is the Tommy Murphy Cup.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, look, Dad, he was involved in Leinster Council. He was County Board Chairman from 86 to 89. He was involved in the Central Council, hugely involved in administration in the GA. Not so much maybe from a hurling point of view. There's a great video of him back in 86 when he's County Board Chairman. I think he was about 37 at the time. And Daynesford lost the Junior County Final, and he had to, in his sub-goalkeeper's kit for Daynesford, hand over the cup to the wine gap captain. So his career on the field didn't reflect, I suppose, his roles in the admin side of it. But he passed away in 2004. He was sick for about maybe 10 years with cancer, and he in 2004, the Leinster Council approached us about naming the cup after him. So, look, at the time, I was 15, my sister was 18. We picked a cup out from a magazine. A jewellery shop gave us a magazine. You picked it out. We picked the nicest looking one we could see, and we went on in search of it twice. 2011, 2022 just came up short. So look, as a 36 year old man now, it seems like it's after kind of coming full circle in my career. So look, it was a special moment for our club. Like, so many of his friends were in the stand, obviously Mam was extra delighted, his grandchildren were in the stand as well. So look, it was a huge, I suppose, very, very poignant moment for our family and club.
And when you went into that game, did you feel sort of invested in it? Was it playing on your mind, if I win this, and I am 36, so my opportunities maybe are getting a little bit slimmer,
yeah.
That I will be lifting the cup in my dad's name, and he would have loved that.
Yeah, no, I was telling myself coming into it that, look, this is just a normal match, and you're trying to do that old cliche of saying this is a normal game, it's 60 minutes of hurling, etc. But to be honest, I knew after the game, with the feeling afterwards, that it did weigh me a small bit. You know, nobody was putting pressure on me whatsoever, but it's exactly as you say, Ciara. You know, I'm 36. I wouldn't have an opportunity after that. It's, you know, because you have to get relegated to come back down to intermediate to maybe get out of it. So I knew very much that this was the last opportunity. I didn't want it to become a very emotional thing. At the end of the day, I just wanted the club to win the Leinster Championship for us to keep progressing into the All-Ireland. But, you know, at the final whistle, and when you're allowed to bask in it at the end, I kind of, I suppose, on reflection, realised, yeah, it did weigh on me a small bit, yeah.
And it was a lovely moment, I would imagine, for the entire family. Yeah. I mean, you retired from your senior career back in 2021. Obviously, you're still playing with your club. When you look back at that time with Kilkenny, you had 4 titles in your first 5 years. Did you just think, oh, this is what it is to play for Kilkenny? This is kind of simple, actually. Or did you feel pretty invincible?
We were going through an incredible generation. I think at the time, I would always see myself have been very lucky that I was a supporter at the start when, like, the Henry Shefflins and Tommy Welches and these started winning All-Ireland. So I got to see it from both sides, where I was up in the stands, I was on Hill 16, and then suddenly in 2011, I find myself, you know, standing beside all these great players and winning. So I feel I was very lucky to see it from both sides. I think a lot of people are saying at the moment, if you said that at the time Kilkenny in 2015 wouldn't win another All-Ireland and we're here in 2025, a lot of people would find that hard to believe. But at the time, you didn't really have time to think about it. It was one All-Ireland, you'd reset, you'd go into a league, you might have a bad league, and that's all you were focusing on at the time. But there were certainly magical times, and I do appreciate it more now looking back, that even when you're saying it like that, 4 and 5 years, it was just a magic time. And I always said, if you win one, that's great. There's fantastic players that have played the GA in both codes, in all codes, never won anything. So if I had one and I left it at that, I'd be happy. But to have 4 is fantastic.
And all the All-Stars to go along with it.
Yeah, some of them, yeah.
We don't do modesty on the Hard Shoulder. we're I mean, I have spoken to Brian Cody actually in an event recently, and he was talking about a winning culture and how you create that within a team. And he was saying, you know, there's one culture that gets you the first title, but it's a totally different culture that comes back time and time again. How did you create that culture, do you think?
Well, it was probably, look, to be honest, a lot of it comes from just the culture in Kilkenny. Hurling is the sport in Kilkenny, and I know often conversations, we've produced great sports people in other codes also. But, you know, you just have to go through Kilkenny to see young boys and girls coming out of Loretto, out of Kieran's, out of CBS, wherever, and they're carrying their hurls down the street. We see it as normal, but lots of other counties look at it and say, how do we achieve that? So really the platform was always there, and it's just through the people of Kilkenny that platform was there. You know, back around the late 90s, early 2000s, Kilkenny GAA put in a huge effort into the underage structures. How do we, you know, be more economic about this? And how do we, I suppose, generate better players across the board? And we saw the fruits of that then through the 2000s and later on. A lot of other counties then went to copy that and maybe even go on further with their own development. But look, really, I just think it's the spirit of the people in Kilkenny. You know, for so many years, people look back at those times, and it was just a magic time again, you know, in terms of in the city. Like you said, we're a very small city, but we're a great community. And the county as a whole. So really, I just think it started with just the people of Kilkenny. For the last century, we love hurling down here, and really we had a special time of great manager and great players.
But to create that standard of excellence, that takes something. Like, that takes a particular drive, a particular commitment from everybody, from the manager, from the players, from their family, from the backroom team, from the person who is driving the bus to get you to the match on time, from the person who's preparing the kits. You know, everybody has to strive to that.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Brian previously. He was the one that upheld the standards, really, you know. And with Brian, you always knew, like, one thing we always questioned was just, you know, where does he keep going back to the well, this, you know, endless well of, you know, energy, enthusiasm. He just always wanted to win. That fed into the team. And then when you have lads like, you know, Henry and these lads coming along, they upheld the standards. I remember when I came into the dressing room, you just kind of look to them and say, well, whatever these lads are doing, I'll try and copy it. And like, they were just so professional. Once that professionalism is established within a group, you then realise that's the standard, that's the bar, we can't lower it below this. And I think people just aspired to be like that. And people aspired, if you wanted to be part of the team, you had to reach up to those standards.
But then do other counties learn from that? And then that puts even more pressure, I suppose, on Kilkenny, because other counties have become stronger over the last couple of years, probably by watching Kilkenny and watching their approach and watching their discipline and watching those standards of excellence and thinking, we're just going to copy that and we'll reach those standards too.
Yeah, there certainly is. Look, at when you're champions, and I spoke about it quite a bit, you know, over the last years with Limerick, like, once you're the champions, there's a bullseye on your back. And Tipperary now this year will have a bullseye on their back going into 2026. So once you realise that, you realise, well, if every team is out to get us, we can't control what every team is doing. We just have to focus on ourselves. And you realise that gap will constantly keep getting closer and closer with each team. So if you're to worry about, you know, what Limerick are doing or Cork are doing or Tipperary are doing, you'll soon lose focus of what you're doing. So you just focus on yourself and you say, look, at the end of the day, bring it back to very basics. It's 60 minutes of hurling. If you're good enough, you're good enough. If you're not, you're not. And don't confuse yourself with any major tactics or any major, you know, psychological stuff. It sometimes does come down to the basic stuff like that.
I was reading that report that the GAA published a couple of weeks ago, and Jarlath Burns was talking about the demise of the rural club in Ireland and how serious that situation is. Do you see any of that here in Kilkenny?
Look, I was part of a committee with Kilkenny GAA over the last few years, well, maybe back around 22, 23. And basically, we were reassessing the structures within Kilkenny just to see, you know, is there anyone maybe falling away? And you kind of see two things, I suppose. You know, people are moving from certain rural areas, particularly away from the hubs of, you know, Waterford or Kilkenny. But then also, you see it within those hubs, within Kilkenny, you know, there's not much room for expansion. So they have the other problem where there's so many people coming in, where do we build pitches and where we build fields. We're very lucky in our club because we're probably at a sweet spot, and we actually only opened a new clubhouse the other day. So it is, you know, we're in a good spot. But I hear it a lot more from around the country, really. There's so many other places. I don't think in Kilkenny we're too bad in terms of our location. If somebody's working in Dublin or they're working in Cork or what, they can get back to Kilkenny. But when you push further west, maybe you push out into the Mayos and Galways and Connemara's, these places, it can be a lot tougher there. So if that report came out and it identified that there is an issue, well, there's an issue then. So, but thankfully, I think in Kilkenny, you know, if you're from Carrickshock, you can play for Carrickshock and you can still work in Dublin, you can make it work. So we're very fortunate with our location here that the effects aren't being felt as hard with us.
How many more years have you in you, do you think? Not living. Years. I mean, playing.
We're getting very deep there, Ciara. I really take it year by year, to be honest. I'm very aware. I've seen so many players that one injury at this age will finish you. You know, so I'm very aware that I'm hurling at the moment, and you know, outside of the next match or the next couple of weeks, I don't look past that, because if you aspire to hurl into your early 40s, which I don't really aim to do, to be honest, I've seen plenty of lads with knee braces and different things going out in fields. But look, you have to realise that it's a very physical sport. You're putting a huge toll on your body. This may be my last year. I may hurl for another 5 or 6. I don't know. I'm taking it each year as I could. But thankfully, they have Junior F in Kilkenny now, so I'll drift all the ways down till F, and they might have an X or a Y at that stage, and I'll keep going.
The over 40s league, the over 50s league. Is that what it is?
It's just, I think they've just called it Junior F, Junior H now. So yeah, I'll keep going as long as
I can. They could be calling it the Senior F, the Senior H. That's where you could be heading. Paul Murphy, thanks so much for speaking to us here on The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.